Our scripture reading for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll be doing verses 29 through 42. And if you would join me with that, you may either look towards your Bibles in the pew or on the back of your bulletin. We'll begin with John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day John was there again, and with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. When George Bush Sr. was president, he supposedly went out and was visiting a nursing home one day when he took the hand of an elderly man who was walking the halls, and he asked in a very kindly way, he said, "Sir, do you know who I am?" And the man replied, "No, but if you ask at the nurse's station, they'll tell you." Identity is everything. There was a woman in a little town in Armenia, and this was in the 80s. She was known as Palasan's wife. This woman had her own name, but everyone called her Palasan's wife, and here's why. In 1988, a devastating earthquake hit their town at around noontime, and Palasan was at work, and he rushed to the elementary school to find his little boy who was there, and the facade of the school was crumbling down, but he rushed in anyway. He entered the building and began pushing children out of the building to safety. He actually managed to get 28 children outside. But an aftershock hit the building and collapsed completely, killing Palasan. So the people of the town to this day honor his memory and his widow by calling her Palasan's wife. You see, our names point beyond us. Our names point to our relationships. Sometimes a person's greatest honor is not who he or she is, but to whom he or she is related. Many of us have a case of mistaken identity. That is, we forget that we are sons and daughters of our Creator, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave everything for our sake so that we could live fully in the richness of the kingdom. When we claim the name of Jesus Christ, our identity is founded in God, who is madly and passionately and furiously in love with us, with you, with me, with all of us. If we are serious about claiming the name of Jesus, we have to start by identifying who is Jesus Christ. See, the church sometimes gets sidetracked in her identity. Rather than Christ, we focus on the building. Rather than Christ, we focused on a ministry. Rather than Christ, we focus on a mission. Yes, worship and study and even prayer can become an idol, separating us from the living God that's in our midst. If there is one thing that the church today needs to identify with, it is Jesus Christ. Identity is everything. And there is much at stake in the church today for those who focus on any idol rather than the person of Jesus Christ. So let's consider the identity of Jesus Christ this morning. Today's scripture from John includes five ways that Christ is identified, beginning with John the Baptist. John the Baptist announces the very beginning of the Gospel of John. Here is the Lamb of God. This is before Jesus' ministry has even begun. He hasn't made a sacrifice to anyone. And John the Baptist calls out and said, here's the Lamb of God who has come to save the sins of the world. This is why John the Baptist is called the greatest of all the Hebrew prophets. He announced the Savior of the world before the work was accomplished. John the Baptist told the gathered community there at the Jordan that Jesus would become the sacrifice for our sins. Now, we know that John was probably referencing the words of other prophets like Isaiah and Micah, who spoke about the Lamb of God. John also had the experience of celebrating the Passover. The Passover was a rich tradition in which the Paschal Lamb, the lamb of the sacrifice, was made to atone for the sins of all the people and restore relationship with God. While another lamb during the Passover was sent out into the wilderness, the sins of all the people were pinned to this goat and sent out into the wilderness. It was called the scapegoat. So John the Baptist was familiar with the tradition in which the lambs would sacrifice for the sins of the world. And John the Baptist identified Jesus Christ. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But John doesn't stop there. In the next breath, John identified Jesus as God's chosen one. He described the baptism of our Lord. He affirmed that the Spirit of God came down and lit on Jesus in the form of a dove, and testified that there was Jesus, the chosen one, the Son of God. Then John is hanging out with two of his disciples, and John looks up and says to the two, "Here he is, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples go off and follow Jesus, identifying him as rabbi. Jesus was a great teacher who communed the kingdom of God to all he met, and these two disciples followed after him and spent the whole afternoon with him. The next way Jesus is identified in today's gospel comes from Andrew, one of the two who followed Jesus. He goes to find his brother, Simon, and he goes to pick up Simon as well. And he says to them, "We have found the Messiah." Now, the identity of the Messiah comes through God, because Messiah means anointed one. And God selected and chose prophets and kings to be anointed, to be the anointed ones. So here in this morning, in our scriptures that we've read, we have identified Jesus in these ways. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the one who the dove lighted on. He's the Son of God. He's the chosen one. And he's the Messiah. Do you know how Jesus liked to identify himself? Jesus identified himself not identifying himself with the divine, but identifying himself with his humanity. He identified himself as the Son of Man. 80 times he refers to himself as the Son of Man in the Gospel. Jesus emphasized his connection with humanity. But John the Baptist announces Jesus to the whole world, saying, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here's the bearer of the Holy Spirit. Here's the chosen one. Here's the rabbi. Here's the Messiah. The rest of John's gospel identifies Jesus this way. Jesus is out and about. You know, Jesus is always on the move. He's always going to the next place, ministering and teaching, and people are coming to him with needs. The blind man needs his sight. The woman at the well needs water. Many come to him for healing. Now, the only thing we know for sure about Jesus' physical characteristics are that he was male and he was Jewish. But there's very little description about what he actually looked like. Scripture does tell us he did human things, like eat, and he got thirsty, and even one time wept. Even one story tells us that Jesus spat. Did you know that? Jesus spit on the ground. This one who is fully human. But wait again. After Jesus spits on the ground, it says he picks it up and rubs the spittle into the eyes of a blind man, and this man's sight was restored. So Jesus' spittle had divine qualities. Now Jesus is fully divine. How do our brains wrap around that? Identity is everything. A fully human and a fully divine being, Jesus Christ. This is essential to our understanding of his identity. So Jesus is out ministering and teaching, and Jesus meets the needs of each and every person that encounters him. And they become his disciple. They go back to their villages and bring people to him. They go and get their brothers and bring people to him. They go and get the sick and bring people to him. God's grace is boundless. There's a richness and an abundance that is applied through Jesus Christ. Following Christ means that we identify ourselves with that kind of abundance. As each new disciple in Scripture comes to Jesus, the decision to follow Jesus is made in response to a statement about Jesus' identity. Did you get that? Each and every time one of the disciples makes a response for Jesus Christ, it's in response to his identity. Look, here is the Lamb of God. And two of John's disciples leave John and follow Jesus. Rabbi, they call him. They follow Jesus to where he was staying and stayed with him all afternoon. Andrew identifies Jesus as Messiah. And Peter responds by going with Andrew to see Jesus. Every decision for Jesus is made in response to a statement made about his identity. Now listen up. When Andrew's brother Simon came to Jesus, Jesus said, "Your name is Peter." When Andrew's brother Simon came to Jesus, Jesus said, "Your name is Peter." Jesus changed his name. Jesus changed his identity. Remember that God changed Abraham to Abraham, that God changed Sarai to Sarah, that Jacob's name was changed to Israel, bringing these important biblical leaders part of our house, bringing them into God's divine plan. Jesus also changed names. He changed Simon to Peter, Levi to Matthew, and God changed Saul to Paul. Here's the thing. God chooses new names for people, inviting them in on a divine plan, giving them a new mission in life. We are created beings, and our identity is found in our Creator. Our identity is not our status, it's not our poverty, it's not our wealth, it's not our age, it's not our educational degree, it's not our job title, it's not the neighborhood we live in. Our identity is founded in Jesus Christ. This is not a distant relationship like some long lost cousin. This is the God of the universe who comes in and touches our lives intimately in human ways, healing and guiding us over challenges and pouring out grace upon our joys, touching our lives exactly where we need it. In Christ, we become a new creation. We don't stay the same with Christ in our lives. We enter into God's divine plan, and that changes us. Wesley Church, our identity in Jesus Christ means that we too are becoming a new creation. Jesus makes all things new. And when we begin this fall talking about our spiritual gifts, and when we spend time looking more closely at our ministry and mission, as we begin to ask questions about how God is leading us, remember this. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our questions. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our questions. Jesus did not just speak the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Jesus Christ went to the cross to accomplish the purpose for which God sent him, to reconcile us with God. For God so loved the world, so loved the world. It is in Jesus that we come to experience the truth that God is love. The Apostle Paul sums it up in Romans when he says, "God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If we want to experience Jesus Christ, then we need to identify with that one truth. God is love, fully and completely expressed in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to deliver me, to deliver you, and to deliver this church and keep each of us from sin. Come on, church, step into this mystery. Take the leap called faith and identify the Lord of our lives, Jesus Christ. And may it be the identity in his saving grace that we claim as he leads us toward his divine plan. Jesus did not just suffer death. He rose again. He overcame human limitations with divine power. He overcame human limitations with divine power. Let's be the church that follows Jesus Christ. Amen.